Moving forward after our Faith Promise rally just last Sunday, I want to dedicate the remainder of this month to the theme of being mission-minded. And again, as Zach already mentioned, we have some displays, some information for you out in the foyer. We want to call attention to some of the ministries that we're involved in. Actually, all of them we want to highlight. Because, you know what, to be mission-minded, we got to be people of ministry. We just need to be. And if you were to ask me what I mean by mission-minded, well, we've got to review the mission. What is the mission we're to be mindful of? What is it? For whenever we think about our mission or our ministry, the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples needs to be front and center stage. Here are three accounts of that mission that we find in the Gospels. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we find the most detailed one, I believe, as Jesus told them there, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Then according to Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus phrased it like this, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, in Luke's gospel, Luke 24, 45 through 48, we're told this, that Jesus told his apostles that as his witnesses, they were to make sure that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations. Now, though these are worded differently, all these accounts emphasize the same goal, I believe. Their mission would be to spread the word about Jesus throughout their world. And that's the church's mission still today. Hasn't changed. Now, it's been several weeks since we last focused on Calvary's mission theme. Though it's on the screen, my hope is that you know it well by now. Sharing the love of Christ. Now that might seem short and sweet in some sense, but we believe it encapsulates our calling. For preaching the gospel and making disciples must always be motivated by God's love for us expressed in Jesus and that love flowing forward. To do this effectively, it's going to involve far more than traditional approaches of the Western Church over the past couple of centuries. Let me explain. I have personally attempted to communicate the good news about Jesus over the years in a whole lot of ways. Some of them you'll be very familiar with. They haven't all been from preaching from the pulpit or teaching in a classroom at a church. Now, we think of that being a primary way, but it's certainly not the only way. I've also gone door knocking. Anybody ever do that? That can be a little bit intimidating, and these days it's not the done thing a lot of times because people aren't that receptive to strangers coming to their door. But I've done that. I've conducted correspondence courses through the mail. I've distributed Bibles. I've handed out gospel tracts and flyers, some of which I wrote. I did that on street corners, sporting events, and in schools. I've held Bible studies in homes and on college campuses. I've struck up conversations with strangers in restaurants and coffee shops and buses and trains and planes, as well as pointed people to Jesus for prayer in nursing homes and hospitals. So not all from a pulpit. I've also shared the hope of Christ during memorial services and funeral homes and cemeteries, as well as in jails and in prisons. Now, I don't say that to say, oh, wow, how great I was. No. That the idea that there are so many ways and so many places that we can take the gospel to if we're mission-minded, if we're open to do that. Over 40 years ago, I began utilizing media to convey, you know, these deep, basic truths. I may still have something called the Jewel Miller film strips in my basement at the Parsonage. Some of you are chuckling. You know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you what, they were just a great... They were useful. They were beneficial. But I remember when I first saw them, I kept falling asleep. Yeah. Because they were monotone and actually like a film strip. You had a strip, you put it in there, ding. Every time the Every time you heard a ding, you changed it. But you know what? Share Jesus with some people using that. I've got some old VCR tapes. And you guys said, well, that's a VCR tape, some of you young people. I used them to explain how we got the Bible and how we might better understand the scriptures. But, you know, I've advanced now. I'm keeping up with the technology. I've used DVDs, streaming videos, emails, blogs, Facebook posts, and other online resources to convey the message. And that's great. But the Christians in the first century weren't able to present the gospel in those methods. I mean, though we become quite dependent sometimes upon resources at our disposal, remember, the first believers had no church buildings, no Bibles, no tracts or flyers, let alone the media we often rely on these days. They didn't have, and some of you might say, well, what do you mean they didn't have any Bibles? They had the scriptures. They had the Old Testament, not the New. And even the Old Testament, they didn't have one that carried around with them, a copy of it. They had it in their hearts and their minds. So how did they do this? How did they share the gospel with so many people? How were they able to do that? Well, they were mission-minded. Very mission-minded. They just talked about Jesus with their friends and family and neighbors. He was on their mind, see, and in their hearts so much that he came up frequently in their conversations. They were excited to share the good news every chance they got. That's because, again, listen to me, mission-minded people are passionate about Jesus. Could you say that with me? Mission-minded people are passionate about Jesus. You believe that's true? Thinking about this, I recently came across a list of some things missionaries around the world believe to be attributes of mission-minded people. And I'm going to share these with you kind of quickly. I've kind of condensed their ideas, but still, please listen. They believe, these missionaries say, mission-minded people actively seek out non-believers for conversations about Jesus. And they look for opportunities to bond with them. They're willing to leave their comfort zones and to befriend the least of these. When they meet someone who doesn't know of God's love, expressed in the gift of His Son, they potentially see brothers and sisters. Mission-minded people continually look, they say, for creative ways to share the gospel. They're intentional about sharing the truth so people can understand. It's not a canned presentation, but relative to that person or group. They may appear to be odd sometimes, even a bit strange, taking risks to share the Christ. Mission-minded people pray a lot. They believe God will do greater things than we can imagine if we ask. They pray for open doors, minds, and hearts. Continuing with their list, they say mission-minded people try to meet physical needs as they share the gospel. To them, it matters little how many wells are dug or how many orphans are fed if the gospel is not shared in the process. Mission-minded people try to understand the culture of their audience. They're devoted to get the message to everyone in every generation, and they realize they can't do that if they don't speak the language of the people. One last thing they say, mission-minded people are sensitive and responsive to the leading of the Spirit. Maybe that should be number one, but if He prompts them to cross the street, go to Kalamazoo or Timbuktu to share the love of Christ, they will. Yet they also follow the example of Acts that we find there to send out other mission-minded people to go to places they can't go, supporting them in every way possible. Whew, that's their list. Remember, compiled by missionaries, they say these are mission-minded people. Now, perhaps you're thinking, sorry, that's not me. Because, boy, that's... Maybe it's not you specifically. It's not always me either. Though I understand the thought behind their list, considering the source, these are missionaries, I'd add this caveat. This list very well may describe the mindset of missionaries, but though we should all be mission-minded, not everyone's called to be a missionary in the sense they're thinking about. The term missionary is a modern designation for those who are sent out to do a mission work. You look in your Bibles, look in your concordance, you won't find the word missionary anywhere. It's not there. Interesting. See, it's a modern designation. The term you'll find in your Bible is apostle. One sent on a mission. That's what it means. And we know there were Christ's apostles who were sent by him on a mission. See, that's the idea. With that in mind, now I want you to listen to Ephesians 4, 7 and verse 11 through 13. Paul's writing to the church there in Ephesus. To each one of us in the church, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Did you notice? Not all were appointed to be apostles. Not all. And again, if you think missionary, not all were appointed to be missionaries, any more than all were assigned to be prophets, preachers, pastors, or teachers. So you may not be called to be a missionary in the formal sense. Bear with me. But I contend that every follower of Jesus needs to be mission-minded. None of us should forget what Christ has done for us, nor forget what he's equipped us to do. In the weeks to come, we're going to take a serious look at the various gifts Christ has given to each one of us. So I encourage you to read ahead to Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Read those in preparation for the next couple weeks. My hope is that in so doing, you're going to be prompted to realize that we all have a personal calling to help fulfill the mission of the church. Hopefully you took a few moments coming in this morning to look over maybe some of the various ministries we have, actually all of them again, here at Calvary. If not, I want to urge you to do that after services. You don't have time to do that today. That's okay. Zach told you. They'll be there throughout the week and on next Sunday. I want you to take a look at them, to prayerfully consider them. Now, when I presented the idea of a ministry fair, someone expressed concern that I'd be putting pressure on people who are already very involved in our ministries. I want to let you know that is not my goal. My goal is for this series to be informational, not confrontational, but also invitational. I pray we'll all be open to the Spirit's leading to be as involved as he wishes us to be. Referring once again to Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul also says this in verse 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, we will all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, speaking of the church, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, he says, as each part does its work. Each of us has work to do. Each of us has responsibility. And we need to be mission-minded enough to want to find out what that is so that we can be part of that process of sharing the love of Christ in our community, our family, with friends, coworkers, whomever we can. Christ's intent was that all followers would work together with this common purpose, to mold people and make people to be more like him. That's what making disciples is all about. In essence, that means sharing Christ with people, the love of Christ, and showing the love of Christ, even perhaps more than just talking about Christ. And again, encouraging them, supporting them, pointing them again to Jesus always. And if we lose sight of that, church, if we lose sight of that in any of the ministries we do, we're going to cease to be who Christ calls us to be. How many of you like to have food, fun, and fellowship? Yeah, sure we do. But we could have food, fun, and fellowship without being a church. We could do that. Everything we do, we want to make sure that we're doing it and honoring Jesus in the process and pointing people to Jesus. That's our mission. So back to my first premise. Mission-minded people are passionate about Jesus. It is. Now, I will share with you that just this past week, I had the privilege, I'll call it, of being able to speak at Byron Middle School. It was their community day, and Hallie asked that either Zach or I think she would have preferred Zach, but he was busy. So I went, okay, to talk about, you could talk about something that was a hobby for you or something you had a passion about. So I shared about the idea of when I was a missionary. But one of the things I told them up front was, I asked them what a missionary was, and they all, every group, it was like three groups of them, they said, well, it's somebody who goes and shares God's word with people, preaches in foreign countries. And I said, well, that's generally how we think about it. But I went on to explain to them that you don't have to be preaching to be mission-minded or to be fulfilling the mission that God gives you to do. That when we show the love of Christ, share the love of Christ just by being compassionate and caring and helpful. There's medical mission teams, aren't there? You've heard of those? You've heard of those people, missionaries, who go out and they're not going to preach. They're going to build churches, or they're going to do some construction. Caregivers, nurses, doctors go on missions all the time. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of people headed to Florida and the Carolinas and Georgia and Tennessee right now, and people already there. Guess what they're doing? They're on a mission, aren't they? They're on a mission to help and to restore and to comfort. Many of them are Christian-based, but not all of them are. But still, you know, being mission-minded doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go to some third world country, though you might be called to do that. Mission-minded is just that, what does Christ want me to do? To share his love with whomever I can. To have that mindset, to have that thought process. Now, if you're thinking again, well, I'm still not interested, that's a deeper problem. Because the heart of mission is what frames our minds for mission. The how of our mission won't matter as much to us if we don't know the why of it. The first followers of Jesus were so thrilled to know that they'd been forgiven and accepted that they couldn't contain it. Their joy over what the Lord had done for them so changed their outlook in life that they wanted others to see the world as they saw it, to see God and understand him as they did, and to see and understand Jesus as they did. They wanted them to experience the joy and the freedom that came with a relationship with Jesus. So I can't help but think of the words of David, the man after God's own heart, in Psalm 51, verse 12 and 13. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And this is what he says next. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. What is he saying? He's saying that the joy of salvation would motivate him, would move him, compel him to tell others about what God had done for him, the forgiveness and the relationship they could have with God. So I'm praying, church, that the joy of our salvation might be restored to us, that each one of us might have our hearts rekindled to remember that joy we had at the first, when we first recognized and realized who Jesus was and what he had done for us. And that joy would overflow again as we share Christ with others. So this serves well to transition into the final thought for today. When we realize we've been rescued from sin's condemnation and control, we want others to be freed from sin's condemnation and control as well. Don't we? The early Christians were concerned for their family, friends, and neighbors. They understood that without Jesus, they couldn't experience what they were experiencing. They couldn't be saved. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10, 9 through 15, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard about? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless somebody sends them? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The emphasis should be obvious. Without Jesus, the whole world would be lost, including you and I. Yet he came so that those who believe in him might be saved. And it's our mission to work together so that they have a chance to do that. To hear, to experience the love of Christ, and have the opportunity to accept him too as their Savior and Lord. With that in mind, we're going to close out today, as usual, with a prayer and a song, but also, once again, with an invitation to check out the ministries here at Calvary that are in place here now to help fulfill our mission to share the love of Christ here and abroad. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name once again for having saved us, rescued us, redeemed us, restored us. Not because we earned it, but because of your grace, your mercy, your love extended through Christ. And we just thank you for that. What an honor it is to be called your children. Father, may we not only just be rejoicing in that for ourselves, but may the joy again overflow in such a way that we want to tell others about Jesus and invite them into the community of Christ. Father, help us to do that with humble hearts. Give us the words and give us the courage to do that. If we've been neglectful in that, Father, again, forgive us, but motivate us, move us, Father, to do what we're called to do, to share the love of Christ with the world. Thank you for this church, Father. Thank you for so many mission-minded people here. Thank you, Father, for their hearts of love for you and their hearts for the community. Thank you for their desire for Christ to be known and upheld and glorified, honored in their lives. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for loving us first, best, and always. In Jesus' name. And those who agree say, amen.